Welcome back to the Real O Show podcast. Today we have a special show with Michigan native Eon Zero, who is a rapper, producer, and one of the game's best engineers and is self-proclaimed the rap game's Gary V. Zero talked about how being authentic and staying true to himself allows him to make the best music and is something that separates him from other artists in the game. Joshua and I had a blast during this conversation, and we believe you'll enjoy this one as well. As always, if you'd like the show, please follow for new weekly podcasts and share. Thank you. How long you been doing music now?
I distinctly remember starting the idea of being an artist in November of 2012.
What made you want to get into it?
To be honest, I've always been a part of like the music world. I've been playing guitar since I was like 6-7 years old. I played trumpet, keys, bass, a plethora of instruments, and I remember I always wanted to be kind of like a rock star, like when I was growing up, like playing guitar and stuff. And I just never really saw it as a possibility. My dad was actually a touring musician most of my life, but he never made any money from it. So it was like, you can do it, but it's not like, it doesn't work, you know?
Right.
One time I was listening to a group called Atmosphere. It's a hip hop group out of Minneapolis. And he had this song, and I never really listened to hip hop much before that. Like, I dabbled a little bit here and there, but I never felt like excited about it. I heard this song and it was like so dope, and I was like, I have to be a part of this. You know, it was like the first like hip hop song I think that I heard. I mean, obviously this kind of shit was everywhere, but where it was like making your own insecurities cool. You know what I mean? Of like, oh, I have problems, but it's
cool because you put it on some snares and beats.
Yeah, exactly. But like, so like hip hop had always, in my, you know, world had always been like, you know, I'm the man, I get bitches, you know, this, that, and the other. So once I heard that, I was like, I was so blown away, and I just like felt this insane attachment to it. I started heavy, deep diving into the roots of hip hop, like all the way back to like Grandmaster Flash and like every piece of hip hop. I wanted to be so well versed in it that I could never be accused of appropriating. And I think the biggest thing that was important to me back then was just being ridiculously honest no matter what, even if it made me look stupid.
But that's, I fucking love that. And to obviously introduce you to the show, obviously appreciate you tuning back to the Real O Show podcast. But today we have on Eon Zero, Detroit rapper, producer, and as he self-proclaimed in his Instagram bio, the rap game's Gary V.
That's correct.
So appreciate you having, you know, joining us.
What do you mean by that? I was going to ask you,
you know, Gary is like one of the most positive people in the world.
Oh, yeah.
And I think rap is missing that.
Okay.
So yeah, I think specifically in the 90s and stuff, you know, we had a lot of like really great iconic hip hop music that was really introspective, honest, reflective. And I think that disappeared in the early 2000s, you know, whether it was the movement of trying to make more money off of hip hop music or whatever happened, it fell away from the highlights. So I just want to bring it back. And I've been digesting Gary Vee since like 2016, and everything that he embodies is what I bring to my music. So yeah, it just had to be done.
No, I love that.
I like that. Cause we were actually just talking about that. Like, artists nowadays, it's like if you have a good sound, no one cares like what you say. They're like, oh, the sound
it drives
is cool.
me crazy.
Yeah,
because like, I feel like I don't even have a good sound.
Yeah,
but people like it, so you know it's working.
Right, but you actually also have context as well.
Yeah,
so with that,
sure.
I think you have a good sound.
Yeah, I hear that from a lot of other people,
and it's obviously unique. Like I think the biggest thing is there's obviously a sound in today's rap game that like people are chasing. There's obviously different variations of it. But the one thing is like kind of being like left field, as a way to say it, like a Gary word, like coming left field with like a different sound, doing it differently is actually the way you should approach it now. Unless you can kill that sound that's blowing up. Like unless you can do what Lil Baby, Meek Mill, all those guys are doing, which very few can.
Right.
Like you do need to be different. And I think a lot of what we fell into is like you kind of brought it back to like old rap, and obviously like checking your music out, it's almost just like actually having like bars in your music. And what's funny is that talk about another white rapper is Jack Harlow. Like on his last album, like he talked about it. He's like, I have songs with three verses. He's like, that's unheard of now.
Yeah,
that's unheard. Every song's 2 minutes. So it's like the fact that like that is kind of coming back, and that is going to be Jack Harlow's lane. He's going to you know, he's trying to be the next Eminem in a different way. So
yeah.
Kind of talk about that. Like, where do you get your inspiration from in music?
Well, just to touch on what you said first, strangely enough, I have been on this psychopathic mission to grow my fan base. And I feel like I've been gatekept at like on Spotify. Like I get like, you know, a couple hundred thousand streams every month, which is absolutely stunning. I'm beyond blessed to have that, you know, but I obviously want to scale out what I'm doing, and I cannot pass this threshold no matter how much marketing I do, no matter how much better the music gets. And I can't understand why. I've talked to a lot of artists, like friends of mine that have millions of monthly listeners that are doing 20 million a month, you know, and then he said, you know, make shorter songs, a minute 30, 2 minutes. And I was like, I don't think I can do it. You know, I feel like I'm selling my soul to do that. Because I have more to say than one verse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We had one of our friends, Leno TK and his brother, produced by KJ. It's like his tag's like, KJ, what you got going on, man? Has Grammy nominated songs. We were just talking about that a couple weeks ago, how they were saying like, especially Spotify has like guidelines where it's like, you have to start your lyrics like within like 10 seconds of the song. It's like,
you don't have a short song. Do that, but that.
It like increases your chance to be on the playlist, and like all these other things. So it was like
same thing on the outro.
It made me think. I was like, man, I was like, so unless you're like Drake, who can just do whatever the fuck he wants, you kind of have to like play by their rules of like what they want.
Yes, and so I'm trying to find a happy medium where it's like I'm giving them what they want, but I'm also being true to myself, and that's I think where the real difficulty lies.
Sure. I have that problem all the time.
Yeah,
because like I work, you know, where I work, it's like a lot of the stuff. It's like you said, feel like you got to sell your soul for it. When it's like, I want to make shit.
It's exhausting.
Exactly.
It's truly exhausting.
Yeah. It makes work way harder when it's like, if you love what you do, it's not work. Like we're here, like this is work. It's not work. You know, we're just hanging out.
Definitely the quickest way to get drained in anything is to do something you don't enjoy.
Ridiculous. Sure. I mean, I actually had some opportunities in the last year where I probably could have blew myself up. And I had to really ask myself, would I rather be successful, like to the level that I want, the way I wanted to get there and take longer or take the shortcut and not do it the way that I had always pictured it. And it was really hard for me to say no.
Right.
But I did. Like ultimately, like I didn't do that. And
proud of you for that.
Yeah. Me too. Great. Right. Yeah. But like it was exhausting because I was like, I know this will work. You know what I mean? Right. I could do this and it's going to work. But like I turned down a couple record deals. Just because they weren't good. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like the money was good, but they wanted creative control.
Why settle?
This and that.
Why settle?
Yeah, I mean, I'd just rather starve a little longer, I think.
I think that's what it is.
Hungry dogs run faster too, you know? Like you get, like, we talk about that all the time. It's like, it's going to be nice. Like if you had all this money to do whatever you want, it's great. It's like, oh, but like at what cost? Like am I, it's not the end goal that we were looking for. It's the journey. That's
it's like when Gary J. Cole said, I think being broke was better.
Yeah.
And that resonates a lot with me.
For sure.
And one of my biggest inspirations would be like Mac Miller, right? And I think that there's a huge hole left in the game that he left.
I would agree.
And I want to fill that. That's really my goal.
I like that.
I'm a big Mac Miller fan. I have Mac Miller tatted on me.
Yeah, me too, right here.
Hey, look at that.
I love that. No, the one he had in his hand. I have it over here.
Oh, amazing. Yeah,
so, I love that.
He's one of my favorite artists. So
that's great.
What I liked is that he wasn't trying to prove anything to anyone. No, you know what I mean?
No.
Like I was talking to my older brother yesterday and he was like, yeah, I used to like Mac Miller, but he's like, all my friends would make fun of me for it. Well, he's not Eminem. It's like, well, I'm glad that he wasn't trying to be Eminem. You know what I mean? He wasn't trying to prove anything to anyone.
Yeah.
He was just making music.
The one thing I like about Mac Miller, and we always talk about the evolution of an artist, like where they started from where they went. It's like, I was listening to Mac Miller like middle school, high school. And like, as he progressed to like when I was like in college, out of college, I'm like, bro, I'm like, his progression from that to insane. It's just like, it's insane. And it's like, that's what you want in artists. A lot of artists that I fuck with, I'm like, it's the opposite where it's like, I loved their early shit, but then as they progress, I'm like, it's not really the wave I'm into.
Yeah.
Still
yeah.
cool. Still respect it.
I want to grow with the audience. Exactly. I don't want to grow away from them, you know?
But it's like some people go more mainstream. Some people are like, ooh, I want to make radio hits now that I could get do that. Whereas like guys like Mac Miller were like, no, I just want to make good music. It doesn't matter about anything. And he's actually like in there making sounds and being like, yo, John Mayer, here's some music. And John Mayer's like, oh, I should rip a little guitar on this. And it's like, you're like, what? Like, that's the same, bro. He's a killer.
But that's just the epitome of just like making music though. Like you listen to Drake. Like I was actually, you know, I listened to Her Loss front to back yesterday because I had listened to it, knew it was good. obviously it's probably going to win album of the year, but I was listening to it and I was like, it's the little things in Drake's music that no other artist would think of that he puts in there.
Right.
Like he's putting like Beyonce and like Chris Brown and Lil Yachty on like ad libs. Like who's doing that? Like who's thinking
of
doing that?
He also has the reach to do that.
Of course.
But yeah. Like, I mean, he's got the reach. He could be like, hey, babe, come over here.
But it's the fact that he's going out of his way to put someone like that. Should be like a background noise. Like on this one part that it's probably going to go over 90% of people's heads.
Yeah.
But like that is making music. Like that is like, that's having fun. And it's nice to hear that. It's like, you don't want to sell your soul and you want to do it your way. Cause at the end of the day, man, we talk about it all the time, especially like when we started this journey. I remember telling him from like the very beginning, we were doing like this vlog, like trying to figure it out. Like the vlog probably fucking sucked compared to now, like where we're at now. And I remember telling him, I'm like, man, if no one likes this shit, I'm like, bro, I like it.
Right.
I like it, bro. Like this is cool. And it's just like, and I've always kind of chased that. And that's like kind of what brought us with this podcast. We did like 10 podcasts before we released one. I finally was like, Joshua, we're going to do a fucking podcast. We're going to release it, see what happens. And it's like, now we're, you know, fucking 58 podcasts in. And it's just like, we're just trying to do something we love
incredible.
And give people and hang out with fucking cool people that, you know, give them an audience.
For sure. And also have great conversations. Like we always talk about recording conversations. I actually had a question, music, very collaborative, what we were just talking about, like how Drake has the people on. What is your like collaboration process like? Are you more of like, I'm like solo, I like to kind of work by myself? Or are you like, I like to have other people in the room making music? Like what's your ideal scenario?
As far as like collaborations, I kind of micro sold my soul a little bit in the last year, which I've stopped doing since. We're actually doing a lot of collabs with people, but it was just because they had a reach. You know what I mean? I didn't necessarily love what they were doing.
For sure.
So I kind of stopped doing that. Watched the numbers fall a little bit too. So it's like, again, you got to take one on the chin for the dream. But
for sure.
I like to make music completely alone. I let Hayden sit in the studio like two songs that I've done. And I don't know. So ever since I started doing music, I never paid for an engineer. I've never bought a studio session ever. I was doing it myself. You know, obviously you edit the footage. So you know a Premiere Pro, right?
For sure.
I was editing my songs in Premiere Pro because I had film degree, but I didn't know how to do audio. So
that's wild.
You know, and I didn't know what a compressor was. I'm manually adjusting every level of every waveform. I had no fucking clue what I was doing. So I just went to YouTube University for years and years and years. And now I'm one of the best engineers in the country.
Yeah.
So it's just really just hard work pays off in that regards. But I want to be completely alone because I don't want anyone to influence my thoughts. And I'm really big on that too. And I like something I preach to a lot of my clients and people I know is that if I tell you your song sucks, like I don't like it, that should have zero effect on how you feel about it. Like I try to really preach that, and I never tell people the shit, you know, like your shit sucks. But if I played you both a song that's unreleased right now, and you both were like, I don't know, I really don't like it, I'd be like, that's fine.
Right.
I love it.
Yeah.
It literally will have zero effect on me. But it took years and years to get to that mindset. And so for all those years of comfortability that I grew into of doing it alone, if someone was in the room and like, oh, I don't really like that part, you should do it again. Yeah. That could really just rip apart.
Play mind games.
Yeah, it would
for sure.
You know, I grew up here in Ann Arbor, but I was the least popular person probably in my middle school and high school. So I got bullied a lot. I was like 5'2 in high school, you know, kids just beat me up, spit on me and shit. So like I really just came from the gutter of like popularity. So I never really felt comfortable or safe around people. So outside influence of like opinions never did well for me as a child. So that kind of, I brought that into adulthood a little bit. So I'm like, when I'm doing this music, I'm like, it's very secretive. Like, I'll show you when it's done.
Yeah.
It's like, if I'm going to buy a guitar at Guitar Center, the second you pick one up, everyone's watching you.
For sure.
And it's like, I just want to see how it sounds. I'm not going to play a solo for you, you know?
No, it's very interesting. I only say that because like for us, like we don't use a whole lot of people. And like for my whole start of like editing and stuff, I would just edit it myself.
Yeah.
And it's like, now it's like, you're kind of the same way. I don't really create with a whole lot of people, but I'll have a few people. I'll be like, hey, what do you think about this? And it's like, when people don't like my stuff, it's like, it doesn't really bother me that much, more or less. Cause there's stuff that like, after I put it out, and I'm sure you feel the same way. There's times where you like go back, you watch it, listen to it. You're like, shit, I wish I would have changed that.
For
wish
sure.
I would have done that. But that's just like part of the game.
That's just being creative.
But I feel the same way about my tattoo. So every tattoo you see on my body, I picked the day I showed up to the tattoo place. Because I wanted my impulsivity to be a part of everything of me. Yeah. I wanted to fall in love with my thoughts and how I felt in the moment forever. Right. So when I go to the tattoo place, I'm like, oh, I like that. Put it on me forever. He's like, yeah. Where do you want it? Where do you think it looks good? I want your art. You know, do it the way you see it. You know
That's
what I mean?
Interesting.
I don't want to. I think I used to obsess over the micro details, and I try to use that as an example. Sure. I wish I could remember. What did you just say before? What was your thing you were just talking about?
I mean, I was talking about like the like how I collaborate, like how at first I was kind of not really showing people my stuff. Yeah. Now I'm kind of like I have a small circle of people, but like I'll just kind of go off of what your tattoos. I do want to ask about your tattoos because I'm a big tattoo guy myself. Yeah. Not to run you off sure. this whole other path.
I was trying to think of this thought I had. It's gone. Dude.
I can't even remember.
It's gone forever. Just, right?
Yeah, it's all right. It'll come
if,
back.
If it matters, it'll come back.
It'll come back.
I don't know if that's true. I thought some really crazy shit, and I wish it came back.
I'll tell you what. Before we get into the tattoos, because I do want to talk about. I think it's really interesting what you said, man, about like how you fall in love with your thoughts. And that's interesting because like through the creative process, it's very, very easy to be like, especially as we're shooting it. And I'll even say more so for like when we do a lot of short form content, obviously like less than 60 seconds,
sure,
green screen, whatever you're doing, skit. Like the fact is like the best thing you can do, and we've kind of learned this along the way and like what we're really into now, almost less time you spend on it, the better.
Sure.
Because when you invest into a short video, it's like, it could still suck. And you wasted all that time. It's almost better just to put it out there to see it. And that's interesting where you're like, I mean, I like doing it alone because it's like you don't have the influence. Like, oh, maybe right. I should record that chorus a little different or say for this sure. a little right. bit different in my verse. And you can kind of just put it out there because at the end of the day, let's bring it back to Gary Vee.
Right.
The market will tell you.
The market will tell you
if it's a good song or not.
For sure. I like the impulse. I think it's a good thing. I don't want to say all my tattoos are like that, but I probably have like six that are just like, yeah, what are you guys thinking?
I tattooed like myself a couple times too, you know, it's like, fuck,
I don't have that one. That's impressive.
The thought must have been good because it did come back, right? So I talked a lot about my clients and essentially a lot of them, they avoid being extremely authentic in their music because if someone dislikes the song, they take that as an attack on them. So, and I noticed this when I was first starting music too. If I rap about this and that and this and I'm this and I'm that, but I'm not really those things, and someone goes, that's garbage, it doesn't hurt my feelings.
Right.
And what people are afraid of is being so authentic, because if someone says they don't like that, now it hurts because you don't like me. You don't like who I am. Right. And I think the biggest difficulty as a creator, as an artist or anything like that, is to separate those where it's like, you're allowed to not like that or not even like me, and that's okay. People assume that a person is the market. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I think people are willing to give up over the opinion of a person instead of the market, and that's like the biggest flaw of artistry these days.
I also think
that's a really good point.
It's a great point. And that's why I had this thought, like doing things that you like, things that you're into, I guarantee you someone else is into.
Oh, for sure.
Even if it's a small market. A
big Gary thing on that too.
Like, but that's true. Like if you're into it, like there's things that I'm into, I'm like, man, that's cool. And it's like, you should just chase that, because at the end of the day,
sure.
that it's cool to someone else too.
For sure.
But probably if it's more cool to you, you'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
It doesn't really, I think when it's cool to you, and like I always bring it back to like what me and Josh do, because like I always compare to what we do a lot to like what rappers do, because it's it's in the same space.
Yeah,
it's just
it's
just, we put out videos and you guys put out music. It's a little different. Audio, video, whatever it is. But it's still like trying to be creative. You still want to make a good video. You still want people to like it, right? But at the end of the day, when you do something you really like and you fuck with, it doesn't really matter if it gets 2 views or 2 million views, because you're like, man, I like it. Like you can sleep at night, but when you sell your soul, like what you were talking about earlier, when you sell your soul for something and then it doesn't work, you're like, fuck. Like you're really screwed.
And we see that in the market too. Like that happened with Doja Cat. Where, you know, she kind of sold herself for a marketing deal, and her original label deal, was making debatably great music. But she ended up hating it all. She didn't want to make pop music, but that's what they made her do, pop music. And then they were using her as a sex symbol. That's why she shaved her head, right. You know, 'cause she was like, I don't want you guys using me like this anymore. And I think she's lucky enough to be in the position she's in now, where she's releasing the music she wanted to create now.
Right.
And now she has a platform.
Right.
So that was always my curiosity, was like, well, do I take the deal, get big, you know, suffer for a couple of years, just eat shit like Gary would say, right?
Yeah.
And now I have the audience I want. So like there's just always so many like ways to approach the game that, you know, it can get really exhausting if you're not really concise with your, you know, thoughts.
And Lil Durk talks about that too, when before he got to the label or whatever he got onto now, like when Lil Durk took off, like really took off like 3-4 years ago, he talked about when he was at all these other labels, they wanted him to make like pop music. And he was like trying to do it. And he's like, I couldn't, he's like, I didn't love it. I couldn't get into it. And then he's like, he finally found like his manager, the label, whatever he's with now. I can't really remember the story. It was on the Nelk Boys podcast. He was talking about it. And he was like, man, like the manager of the label was literally like, bro, make whatever music you want.
Sure.
And then like, now look at him. Right. You know, he's top five in streams like every year on command, no matter what, like biggest reach, like doing whatever he wants. And it's like, doing what you love. Cause when you love something, man, you can get behind it. Like you can stand on it.
And I think too, ultimately what a lot of people don't understand about the podcasting, audio, music, everything is that if you have fun while you make it, people will have fun while they're listening to it. I mean,
for sure.
The human brain is really incredible bullshit detector. Yeah. So I think that if there's any hesitation when a rapper's saying, I shot this guy, I shoot people or something like that, I can tell immediately. For I'm like, sure. This guy's full of shit.
No, you can tell.
Yeah.
Like, I'm calling Cap immediately, and I think that, you know, if I make a song and I'm having a blast while I'm making it, while I'm recording it, people generally have fun listening to it, you know. Or if I'm really fucking sad and I'm crying while I'm recording, people will feel that when they listen to it. So
that's a good point.
The energy transfer.
Yes,
that's a real thing.
The authenticity is endlessly important.
So who are you? Who are you listening to right now? Like, are you listening to anybody? You like? Are you like Lil Wayne? Like, you're like, no, I don't listen to no one.
That shit is because
that was crazy to me when he's like, I don't say anybody. I'm like, he just doesn't want to shout anybody out.
So sure. I've been kind of all over the place. I typically keep up with any big album that drops, like just because I want to know where the market's at, you know.
Like you listen to like Thugs, Uzi's new album.
Yeah. Like I checked it out. That's,
what's your
not
thoughts?
My like go to.
That's okay. I'm just curious. I'm just curious.
In the last week, I've been moving, so I haven't had a lot of time to listen to a lot of music, but I listened to a lot of Ed Sheeran this last week.
Wow.
And I actually don't really listen to Ed Sheeran ever.
But still, it's an interesting, he's like the mastermind of like playing instruments, doing everything,
the,
writing
the
songs.
The songwriting is incredible.
He's a crazy songwriter.
And I actually, because I found this song by him, and I was like, dude, this is incredible. And I look at the songwriting list, and I'm like, who's this guy? And I click his page, and I'm like, oh, he's written all these songs for Taylor Swift. This person. I was like, what the hell? Like, this guy's a genius. You know what I mean? Like, he did all of The Weeknd's last album. Yeah. He did Justin Bieber. He's done Selena Gomez. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, I know Ed Sheeran. I forget, like, one of his biggest songs he's ever had. I think it's like his biggest song, he tried to get like Justin Bieber to do it. Justin was like, no, that's more of you. And then like he has like 10 other superstars. No one wanted to do it. He was like, fuck it, I'll just record it. And he just recorded it. He used the one that like he recorded it to show everyone. He didn't even re-record it. He just like was like, fuck it, we'll just put it out.
I just put it out.
And then it's like the biggest song ever.
Yeah,
it's
and,
like,
and that's just the that's truly insane. Incredible portion of it. And I think that back in 2019 is when I first really got any progress in the music world at all. I was releasing like every week and stuff, you know, just doing the grind, like falling in love with it. And then I went through like a really bad breakup and I made this record and I posted it. And originally it was a remix to the Pretty Little Liars by J. Cole Black.
Yeah.
And halfway through it, I was like, this is really good. I was like, let me make my own beat for it. I was like, I'm going to scratch this. And then it was really intimate. It was like a really intimate record. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to only release it on SoundCloud. Like, this isn't really for everyone, you know?
Right.
But I want some people to hear it because I had a good following on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
And then the next day, it was on a YouTube page with like 3 million subs. And it just did like 100,000 day one. It was another 100,000 the next day. And it started just going crazy, right?
Yeah.
And then I was like, what the hell? And then all these kids were like, how much did you pay them to post that? And I was like, I didn't pay anything. And I try to explain to so many people, it's like, this was literally a product of me doing what Gary Vee said. It was, if you keep doing it, it will happen. You know,
something's
I kept buying lottery tickets. I kept buying lottery tickets. And one of them's going to fucking hit.
For sure. Yeah.
And people think it's okay to like release a song a month or go to the studio once a month. They want to be the LeBron of the rap game, but they work like the exact opposite. You know what I mean? Like
you're gonna be in it every day.
I'm in the studio every fucking day.
You have to.
I make probably like 10 songs a week.
Yeah, you have to. I mean, if you're not flexing that muscle every day, we talk about every day. Like if you're not making a video, if you're not doing it, like there is like we're making multiple videos a day. I'm like, if you're not flexing that muscle, you can't. You're gonna lose it. It's like working out. If you don't work out, you're not gonna just do a push up. Be like, I'm fucking ripped. No. You're not.
No. Exactly. That's a
work.
Perfect example.
It's work.
Back to artists I've been listening to.
Yeah. Back to the artists.
NF.
Okay.
Tia Corinne.
Ooh. Shout out.
Yeah, a little shout out there. Atmosphere. Let's see. I was listening to some Doja Cat, Kanye West. Okay. I listen to like 90s throwback.
Are you a new Kanye or old Kanye?
Old Kanye. But like, I like some of the middle. I like some of the middle ground shit.
For sure.
I think Kanye is the best producer of all time.
Of course,
he's just the master of like mashing things that like wouldn't have normally worked. And yeah, he makes them work.
I think he's actually a genius. I think it's a shame everything that happened, you know, socially with him. But
it doesn't take away his music.
It's hard when you're under a microscope. Yeah. Like, let's be honest with ourselves. Like, people can talk shit about that, but they have no idea what it's like to when you walk outside, cameras on you. Go everywhere, cameras on you. Do anything,
especially,
cameras
on you. I mean, I suffer with a lot of mental illness myself, so it's like, I'm not even ready for that world. And I think it's interesting, too, with, you know, do you guys familiar with NF?
Yeah, oh yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He's from Michigan,
yeah,
too,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He, you know, he's got a massive following. He's got songs with billions of streams.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, huge.
And, but he does no social presence, really. And he has no media presence whatsoever.
Yeah, I was going to say, I never see him on social media.
I've never seen a paparazzi photo of him. That's really interesting. No. And I think that's ultimately, like, my end goal, right, is, like, I would like to, like, be there, but I don't want to play the game. For sure. I don't want to be, like, I mean, I don't even mind being under a magnifying glass or a microscope because I would love to inspire people with the way I move. So I definitely would post way more than him, but I don't want like paparazzis in my asshole.
Yeah, it's definitely tough. It's interesting you say that. I never thought about that because it's like you don't ever see him anywhere, but he does have a massive
following. He just sold out a massive tour.
He has a massive following.
Yeah.
Who are your biggest inspirations, you think, in music?
Schmack, J. Cole, Atmosphere, I used to be really down with some Hobson.
Hobson, that's a fucking throwback, man. That's a throwback. That's out of nowhere.
I did a little thing at his show like a long time ago too. I did a little meet and greet because I did a song with Dizzy Wright right before that. That was in like 2016. Yeah. So I've been doing this for so long. It's just a lot of people are like, well, does it get exhausting and stuff? And I'm like, no. You know, like I do get concerned. Like here and there, because it's like I'm almost 30. Then I listen to Gary, but I think with the rap, I'm like, oh, everyone's so young. But like I look like I'm 23, so like I'm not really even worried about it. And I'm having a blast, and the progress is happening. So
I know you say you didn't collaborate a lot, but like if you could dream collaboration with someone, who would it be?
Like alive?
Alive.
Okay, yeah. So alive. Like something that was possible, right?
Something that's possible that you're like, I think we could, you know, I could make that happen eventually here.
I would love to do a song with NF. I'd love to do a song with J. Cole. I'd love to do a song with Drake. I'd love to do a song with like a pop star like Sheeran or Bieber. There's so many people. There's just so much talent out there. Like I would love to work with anyone that's really talented. And I think, again, like what I was saying earlier about like the Spotify collabs I've done, all those people's music I just didn't love.
Right. Work with more people you love their music.
I think there's so many incredibly talented people. And I typically charge for like features and stuff. But if someone ever like hits me up on Instagram, like, will you get on my song? And I'm always like, send me the song, you know? And if it's amazing, I'm doing it for free.
For sure.
Hands down.
For sure. At the end of the day, it's like
even if they have like one follower.
For sure.
Like, I will put you on.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
I think that's a great mentality because like I think like we feel the same way. It's like anything that's like cool that you can be a part of, like even just getting that serendipity of like, ooh, I like this.
For
like
sure.
Maybe it just puts you onto something, gives you an idea for something. It's like that's all worth it. It's all the game. Like it's all about getting the rep up, being like, ooh, I made that. Let's
share
keep evolving.
So much love, dude.
For sure.
You know, because I think that makes me feel good as a human. And I think that's what transpired through the music too, because I used to lie a lot in my music. Well, I wasn't really lying, but I was only telling one side of the story.
Right.
You know, and I think that like the last song I did, I didn't get a chance to show Gary, but I sampled Gary, one of his like things in the beginning of it. It was a song, I was scrolling through my notes, and it was a song I wrote in 2018. And it was called, "This is the Last Summer That I'm Broke." And funny enough, as I started doing very well the following year. So, you know, I believe a lot in the manifestation and like the self-belief. But that song is really intimate in the same way where it's like, you know, I was a fucking loser, you know, and I talk about it, you know, and I think that people are so hungry for something real and honest, but they're so scared to admit it.
Yeah, it's
humans love, humans want real, but they're scared to be real with themselves. So when someone's real, like wrapping this up, like as we wrap up, like Gary, like people either, honestly, Gary's like on two different spectrums for people. They love him. they hate him.
Yeah.
Because one, they love him because he pointed out something that where they could work on themselves and they unlocked into something important, or they hate him because they were calling them out on their bullshit and they were like, yeah. Bro, fuck this guy. Who's this guy?
I love it.
Yeah.
It makes good. Me so fucking like I get horny to be called out on my bullshit, dude. You know, cause when I went to his office and I was like, dude, how do I blow up as an artist and shit? And he's like, you need to make more content. And I was like, oh God, like I already fucking knew that, you know? Yeah, I was like, God damn it. All right. I'm going to fucking triple down on it then.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm going to do it for a year and I'm going to come back and, you know.
It's like the answer you knew he was going to say, you just needed to hear it.
I needed
to
him to say it. Right? And I was fucking mad too. Cause I was like going home the whole flight. I was like, God damn it. I was like, because I don't want to be a content creator.
For sure. But that's what
it's like. But I have to be now.
It's like what it is now. It's like, yes, you don't necessarily need a label, but it's like you almost have to double down because like what they would make up for and like pushing you on other shit.
They're going
to
make you do it anyway.
Exactly. So you might as well do it for yourself. Yeah, like you're reaping all the benefits. And it's like eventually, yeah, maybe the label is down the line, but it's like it's lucrative for you, not taking advantage of
it. It's unreal.
Yeah, but you know, as we wrap up, anything you want to plug, a project, anything you got going on in your world?
Besides
going to Spotify, Apple Music, and I am anywhere sitting they can find on, me on Zero.
I think probably like 5 to 10 songs that I think are Billboard capable. So my goal right now is I'm going to be shooting videos for them, and I only have like 2 music videos out. So I'm going to have this big release thing, and I'd say for people to watch out for that because it's going to be really magical.
You got like a timeline you're thinking?
Before the end of the year.
Before the end of the year?
Yeah.
All right.
But like just something to completely like not to discredit my old music, but like it discredits my old music.
It's just an evolution, right?
Yeah, there's so much evolving. Authenticity and honesty, like the level up of the production, the performance, everything is just really magical. You know, if I want to plug anything, I just want to tell people to plug themselves, you know? Like just believe in yourself. People are just so scared. Just like if you can just take one step towards like chasing your dreams today, like just do it. Like if you do anything for me, that's what I'd ask
absolutely.
You to do.
I love that. I love that. Well, appreciate you coming on,
Zero. Yeah, appreciate
of course.
You, bro.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
I never had to tell my dogs when we on roof for greatness. They paper getters, they want money more than they want fame shit. I swear we go so hard, we on A-list. I see my niggas prevailing. Be going hard for the hand. We gonna stack till we jaded. I just told my niggas that we on a mission. Yeah. It's gonna be hard to get it. On par for the misses, I put my heart in my feelings. On tracks I don't even feel. We buy the box, we dripping. We buy the box, we fall. My emotions stay warm. And I ain't never gon' slip. One by my mama house. Won't see my brothers get ripped. I tell you I'm in. Watch me get my racks. And we bought so hard they think my niggas selling crack. We was pushing packs for 260 or a pound. We was down, probably had some product in your town. But now we back, same straight for all my niggas, call my fam. And I made about 10 racks up off these features in the air. For my grandma, ho, she know that this for you and you and him. For my brothers, for my family, for my mama, for my friends. I gotta fight for my brothers, I gotta stack out this gold. I tell you I'm on the road. About to get all this dough. Me and no fuck niggas know. I swear to God, we the ghosts. This ain't the story they told. Man, if you know, then you know. I never had to tell my dogs when we on roof for greatness. They paper getters, they want money more than they want fame shit. I swear we go so hard, we on A-list. I see my niggas prevailing. Be going hard for the hand. We gonna stack till we jaded. I just told my niggas that we on a mission. Yeah. It's gonna be hard to get it. So I'm part for the misses. I put my heart and my feelings on tracks I don't even feel. We bought a box, we drippin'. We bought a box, we fall.